Welcome to a new episode on the podcast channel, Joy of Weightlessness. In this episode, we will explore the power of mindfulness with Rajesh and Smita, the founders of Mindfulness and Beyond. Both Rajesh and Smita served as monks and has garnered years of experience mentoring and practicing the transformative art of mindfulness. Welcome, Rajesh. Welcome, Smita.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Nice to be here.
You've been here with us for a few weeks now. So I hope you enjoyed.
Yes, it's been an amazing experience. And then connecting with the guests and the team, it's been a great experience to be here.
Perfect. We also received lots of good feedbacks from all both teams and our guests.
Thank you.
And looking forward again. We will talk at the end for the next plan. Right?
Yes.
Could you please share with your with our audience what mindfulness is?
See, mindfulness is consciously knowing what is happening, consciously paying attention to what is outside of us and what is within us. Because otherwise it is like basically being walking around blindly or without hearing. So imagine we shut off all the senses and then what kind of life that would be. Similarly, mindfulness is using our skill of attention and focus and directing it in the area that we want to, so that we can throw light into some areas of our life. And that light will guide us into right decisions, right choices. And then it also opens up many of the doors and doors that we close off. So it is, I would call it the fundamental principle and practice that would help one's happiness, success, and growth in life.
It is like a tool for expanding your life, yourself,
your
relationships,
potential.
Your potential. Yes, so many. You know, that's so your journey begins with mindfulness, and then the more you throw light on those areas, the potential, you know, you can reach is just quite immense.
So actually, you and yourself, observing yourself and trying to open each area's potential.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you are the only guide to yourself.
Yes.
Correct. But then when we do it, the meaning and understanding of the world around us also changes. So that way, the way we interact with the world around us also improves or changes into something beautiful. So that is the beauty of mindfulness.
But yeah, of course you explained a bit, but with some specifics, how does mindfulness help in your daily life and your programs? How does it help?
In my daily life, like we do regular practices, regular meditations, and then other practices associated with meditations and mindfulness. I would say simply, it helps to diffuse so many potentially emotional situations much faster, so that there is not much conflict. And even if there is a conflict, it ends pretty fast because we are able to see through it. And also it helps in becoming free of some base emotions like anger and fear. So it's so easy to get out of them because we practice that. And also it's helpful in having more creativity, more clarity through the day. So it is like I would say it has helped immensely. The way we use, you know, we speak about mindfulness and beyond. Mm-hmm. So we believe mindfulness is a first point to begin one's journey, which is you become aware of what you are, where you are, and then you also become aware where you want to be. So then the journey begins. The journey is one of opening up different doors of consciousness, different doors of our mind, and breaking through a lot of baggages. So it brings emotional freedom, it brings intellectual and mental freedom, it opens up. So our programs are directed in helping people break through the barriers that stop them from being successful or enjoying life. And it could be some belief systems, it could be some traumas from life, it could be some identities that they got stuck in. And it may not always be working on the negative, it could also be enhancing the positives. So enhancing how their self-confidence is, enhancing their vision in life. So it is to build, and through our programs, whether being it is one-to-one personal mentoring and counseling sessions and healing sessions, or it is through our workshops and retreats. So we create a space for people to look into themselves, and in through that awareness, they can break through these barriers and come out of it in a expanded space.
Mind is one of the four pillars of Joali being, as you've been experiencing, Rajesh. It's also one of the most important and the yes, most mysterious. Can you share with us the most memorable healing experience you had?
Would you want to start, please?
Okay. A few years back, in 2015, I think we both went for a trek in the Himalayas.
Okay.
To Dharamshala, which is like the base of the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Don't take a Himalayan trek there immediately in Mount Everest, no?
Yeah, yeah.
But we were in Dharamshala and just hiking up to a glacier lake. And I think that was one of my most profound experiences, one of the most. I've had many,
mm-hmm.
but I would say I would like to share that. So we were walking in and hiking in the mountains, and then we came to just a small stream, a hut, an old man on his spinning wheel, and sheep and goats just grazing. This was the setup. So we stopped there for a cup of tea,
yeah.
And some, you know, Indian bread, you know, which was the mountain food there. And we had that, and we just got chatting to that man, and we were asking him what was he doing. So he said he was spinning yarn from the wool from his sheep so that he can have a coat for himself for his winter for the next year. Now we all think that healing needs to be, something that we have to work towards, or it is time taking, mm-hmm. or time consuming, or, you know, you really need to dwell deep. Something, sometimes healing and relief in the mind is just a simple insight. For me, that moment when I saw that man was very, very, very insightful in teaching me how happiness can be very simple, mm-hmm. and need not be something extremely complex. We unnecessarily complicate our lives, in so many different ways, with so many different layers, with so many different expectations. And I had particularly been going through quite a stressful time at work and life then. And then that moment and was like an immense a shift in perspective. And with that shift in perspective, anything, all the stress that I experienced just flew out of the window. So I think that's one quite a simple moment, you know, but something that really touched me in a beautiful way.
I mean, it's beautiful, but you're very right in the human perspective, right? We are creating all these complications by ourselves. Actually, pretty much happiness is very easy and simple. And it is very much hidden in those small and smallest things. But why do we do that to ourselves? Why that complexity is happening?
I would say complexities happen with hurt and rejections that we have felt in life, and hence there is a fear. So we want to protect ourselves more, because a simple life, like what she mentioned, looks so easy. But it's not, because when we were children, we opened ourselves so many times and then got rejected or hurt. So eventually, over time, we started believing that we have to protect ourselves and we cannot just openly expect good things from life. Then it becomes complicated. Then we think, you know, it's like step after step after step. Then we think, like, one day when I become a millionaire, then I can smile.
Yeah.
And then there are so many steps to get that idea that I should become a millionaire and then smile. So these are the different layers that we put ourselves around ourselves to get that happiness which is so simple. That's why we cry when we see somebody who is so simple, or a child, you know, who can easily access a joyful moment, and then we are touched by it, because like, how could you do that? Because we spun ourselves in layers because of our fears. And this is fundamental, because the fear also is heightened, the reason being that we do not know how to handle our hurts that life throws at us. So we either convert them into anger, we convert them into fear. So if we learn how to handle the hurts of our life and disappointments of our life and properly resolve them then and there as early as possible, then we don't need to spin these big webs of stories.
Yeah, we learn to set right expectations for ourselves and for, you know, for people around us, for our success, for our relationships. These webs are confusing us all the time, and we're setting wrong expectations or expecting wrong things from, different areas and ourselves. And in that moment, we are again and again spinning in that web of stress. So I think...
And in the meantime, time flies.
Yes.
The time flies.
Yes.
And then our stories become much more important.
Yeah.
Like, I have to get it.
We start to believe in that.
Yes.
So deep.
Yes.
And then you are there in 70s, 80s, and you start to say, I wish I had known...
Yeah, it is so true, you know, and we just get caught up in these stories. That's why, you know, if I may share one more example here, I was working with a gentleman here in these last few weeks, and then this gentleman came up with a particular issue around feeling guilty. You know, we all go through guilty moments in life.
Yeah, of course.
And then he was going through this guilt, and that's a guilt coming from childhood, a lot of it. And then we were not directly working in a guilt, but when we addressed some of the issues around it, his breakthrough actually happened while he was sitting in the beach. You know, he was sitting in the beach right here, experiencing it, and then he asked a simple question like, how easy it is for me to experience the waves in front of me? And then a part of his mind said, like, no, you need to really focus. It's not going to be happening. You cannot do that. And then he realized, like, no, this is a big burden I've been carrying and I don't need it. So he said, I don't need you. It disappeared. And then he came to me the next day and he said, like, you know, I'm actually experiencing the waves and without guilt. So it is simply the transformation can happen in a moment of real awareness and mindfulness. So it could happen to anybody.
At any time. How would you describe philosophy here at Jowari Being, finding joy in weightlessness?
My understanding of weightlessness would be coming from the mind perspective, the mind pillar of Jowari Being, which is, most of us feel heavy in our body only through our thoughts. You know, so when we are really happy, when we feel like I'm so light, I think this is a place where it creates this lightness in one's mind. And I think most of the treatments and programs here are designed to create that lightness in the body, lightness in the mind. Once we help them reach that level of lightness, I think that is the weightlessness, and joy is an automatic byproduct of that. That is how I see this joy of weightlessness.
That's a very right-footed, you know, explanation. How about you?
I think it's an unburdening.
Unburdening
and letting go of things that are not serving us. It could be habits, it could be ideas, it could be, you know,
anything
but unburdening. And and with you know, what you are offering here in Jowari Being, you have the ability to let go and focus on these different, you know, areas of yourself. So even as you let go, you also kind of rebuild. And I think that's how I understand
and
this.
It's a very, very, again, another right explanation that is about this. But, you know, why I'm saying that, this in letting go, unburdens, right? That's definitely has to be aim of each individual. When you start to practice it or share this with others, right, like how you're happy, then you're, and you in such society that we are in, you also start to be criticized.
Correct.
Because then, even in a business environment or in an environment that people start to question you, you are not taking things seriously. You need to take this topic very seriously. You need to pay attention to this seriously. Then it's so difficult to make them understand, no, you're taking it seriously, but not taking it deep in a level that it has to stop to go that behind that wall, let's say. But yes, unburdenness and letting go.
Correct. You are so right, because most people judge us on the way we respond or react to situations. Not that it is leading to a positive action or not, but then they want us to mirror their emotions. So if I'm sad, you are supposed to be sad. If you are sitting there and then thinking to find a solution to get out of that sadness, you are not sad enough. So people really don't want solutions. They want more a sense of connection with their emotions. That's what they are seeking. So this is like the familiar, the crab story or spider story, where, you know, somebody is trying to get out of it and then the other one pulls them down.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the emotional well that we are all pulling each other in. But the beauty is, if someone practices this, if someone gets this breakthrough and then goes back home, the first week, yes, it's going to be difficult because people may judge you. The second week, then they see that you are actually lighter. Something is changed. Something is changed. And then the third week, they ask you, like, where did you get that? So I think people innately, we want to be happy, we want to be lighter and brighter. But then since we don't know how, we go about doing the same thing that we've done all life.
True. Thank you, Rajesh. Thank you, Smita.
Thank you very much
for joining us today and being here and assisting our guest and our colleagues the last few weeks. Looking forward to have you again.
Yes,
at Jollibee.
It's been a wonderful experience for us too, and we got a lot of new friends.
Yes, exactly.
We always enjoy just connecting with the wellness practitioners in the community, and it has been a very beautiful month.
Perfect.
Doing that.
Perfect.
So thank you also.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having
a good day.
Having
yes.
Pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.